T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named best radio show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day and welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. How are we looking today? Bam! How are we looking? Jesus Aguilar. For the final two All-Star positions, he is leading for the National League. Kudos to Brewers fans who are going all in on Jesus' season. But you can't stop there. You got until, I think Joe said, 3 o'clock tomorrow is when the voting ends. So the final push is on to put Jesus Aguilar, deservedly so, into the postseason, or into the All-Star game. So don't stop. 855-830-8648. We'll talk more about this Brewers team coming up here in just a bit. Also, you're going to hear from Adam McAlvey from Brewers.com and MLB.com at the bottom of the hour. Now joining us, though, on a Schneider Orange Hotline, Marcus Pfaff from 95.3 and 99.1 FM, the Score in Appleton, our fine affiliate there. Marcus, how you doing?
Bill, I'm awesome. I'm talking to you from a parking garage in Las Vegas, so what could be better than that?
Are you putting a lot of money down on Aguilar to be in the All-Star game or the Brewers to win the World Series?
I'll tell you what, I made my bet on the Brewers winning the World Series in the preseason, and I don't know how much confidence I had at that at the time, probably more of a fan bet than anything, but that's starting to look better and better, so I better make sure that ticket's in a safe place here real soon. As far as what's more likely, I guess, I don't know, it's a toss-up right now. I will say this about Jesus Aguilar, if he is not an All-Star, and I think I speak for just about every Brewers fan out there, I won't call it criminal, but it speaks to the farce that is All-Star voting in pro sports, because the guy's been nothing short of spectacular this year. And statistically speaking, there's just no way that you can make an argument against him being there.
Right. No, I completely agree. I would say it's more incumbent upon Brewers fans, and especially the fans that feel in some way, shape, or form slighted. It's incumbent upon, voting is free and it's online, for God's sakes. You can do it on your damn phone. So yeah, you can't complain if you don't. If you don't vote, you have nothing to complain about. That period.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Bill. I mean, it is somewhat of an indictment, on the fans if we can't get out there and get this guy to Washington D.C. Because as you said, yeah, you can. And I pulled this up just to see the process the other day. I didn't even realize how easy it is. You vote once, and then you want to repeat your vote. All you got to do is enter in a code that they throw your way. So you could probably take 20 minutes and pound out a couple hundred.
So let me ask you this. What is the fervor pitch right now when it comes to Brewers chatter outside of the city of Milwaukee?
Well, I think a lot of that probably comes back to what they're going to do when this trade deadline approaches. I think a very similar narrative to what you guys are discussing within the city in terms of, is Manny Machado the right option? Is he the guy to take this team over the top? Would you prefer to go with a pitcher over bolstering your offense? And then the million-dollar question for me and everybody that I've had a conversation with is just, like any trade, what's appropriate to be giving up at this juncture? It was a couple of years ago that we were, to borrow a Bucks phrase, owning the future with this Brewers team and trying to determine how long it was going to take to rebuild. It seems like they're there. Obviously, they made the moves in the offseason to bring in Yelich and Kane. But are you prepared to give up a guy like Keston Hira right now to, quote-unquote, go for it? And I have a lot of mixed feelings about that. I think you could probably say this about any deal that's thrown out there. You have to judge it or base it on its own individual merits. I'm not somebody that's going to, dig my feet into the ground and say, no, Hira is untouchable. Let me see what the deal is, what's out there. and what could potentially be had for this team. Because right now, I guess just generally speaking, I look at the overall situation and feel like the Brewers are set up to be viable contenders for the foreseeable future. And I really don't want to see them make a move that jeopardizes that. At this point, David Stearns has earned enough trust in my mind that I suspect he will make whatever the appropriate move is. But that's kind of the discussion right now is, boy, where are they going to go? Is Machado really a guy that you want to rent for just a couple of months and maybe give up some guys that could be a part of this thing long term?
Think about it, though. How many players are they away? I mean, how many position players do they need, or how many players in general does this team need to really solidify themselves as going deep in the postseason? Do they just need Machado, or is it Machado and a starting pitcher and then more depth in the bullpen? What do you think the depth is on this team that they need as far as bolstering of positions go?
Yeah, I'm a big believer, Bill, of starting pitching in the postseason. You get into a 5-game series or a 7-game series, you just feel so much better about your chances if you have that front-end stopper. We know CC Sabathia was that. I know his name has been brought up a lot in comparison to Machado lately. And you wonder what the Brewers might have been that season had Ben Sheets been healthy and you had that solid 1-2 punch. I think we look at the Brewers' rotation this year and feel like, boy, they've really made out okay, you know, 5-6 innings, and that bullpen has come on and got the job done. But when you get into that short series, I still think that my number one priority would be to find somebody who can be that anchor or that rock for you, take the ball. You know, I know that Noah Syndergaard and Jacob deGrom would be the dream, but they would certainly fetch a high price from the Brewers in return as well. That's what I keep coming back to. And yes, you look at the middle of the infield as well, right? Manny Machado would certainly help with that. If he's playing shortstop or if he's at third base and they move Travis Shaw over to second, whatever the case might be, I do think they need to find a way to be better offensively at those two spots, shortstop and second base. But if I'm forced to pick and I have to prioritize here, I like somebody at that front end of the rotation, because then I think everything else falls in line there as well. Meaning your bullpen gets a little bit stronger, maybe the starting pitching goes a little bit deeper, and guys can build off that.
Hey, as far as the Brewers chatter goes in general, we know that outside of the Milwaukee area, usually north of, say, the Appleton area, it usually is all Packers all the time. But what is the pitch right now with everybody kind of paying attention to what's going on inside Miller Park?
Yeah, there's a lot of Brewers talk, and I do think that they dominate most of the conversations. That said, you're right, Bill. I mean, you know this as well as anybody, that the Packer conversations never really go away. So if you're out in an establishment and pull up a bar stool, you're probably going to start with the Brewers, and at some point you will make your way to the Packers, especially now that we're just a couple of weeks from training camp getting going. So I still think, though, that the excitement is genuine. It is fantastic to have something else this time of year to be excited about, to look forward to, and the Brewers gave us that last year. But it is enhanced, certainly, the conversations and the excitement level this year, just because of the fact that the expectations were a little bit higher, and we've seen the acquisitions, the guys that generated or drove a lot of that excitement in the offseason, Lorenzo Cain and Christian Yelich chief among them. We're seeing them perform, and it gives people a lot of excitement, I think, and hope for the not only this season, but the next 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever it might be here to come. So we'll still talk Packers football, there's no doubt, but the Brewers are right there at the top right now.
When it comes to the discussion in general, you talk about the Brewers and then you mention the Packers. Do the Bucks fit into that anywhere outside of the area of Milwaukee, especially in the fact that, like you said, borrowing the phrase owning the future and Giannis and the new building and now a couple of deals to bring players in, do the Bucks fit into that discussion anywhere?
They do, and it's interesting. You know, I was back into the Fox Cities after having been away out of the state for a while in 2014, and at that point, there was really little Bucks conversation to be had, and not just conversation. You go into any one of the retail stores in the area, and you're going to be hard-pressed to find any piece of Bucks merchandise out there. I've seen that evolve. Certainly, and you know, I think that's fair to say that it happened in Milwaukee as well. When you develop a superstar like Giannis and things start to take shape, the excitement grows. It is still something of a niche crowd up here, though, in terms of Bucks fandom. What I did see is when the postseason rolled around. That's when a lot of folks who maybe are casual observers or just check the box score night in and night out and aren't necessarily active viewers of the Bucks, that they got on board and found a way to get out to meet up with friends or have some people over and take in those games. So I do think that there is a market here. The Wisconsin Herd have certainly helped that in the Oshkosh area as well in driving that marketing message. And as they have success, which I think we're all hopeful, they take a big next step this upcoming season, mainly winning a playoff series, that's going to go a long way in really allowing that fan base to blossom up here.
Hey, before I let you go, what is your level of optimism for this Packers team? One, in being better, defensively speaking, probably more so than anything, and two, being able to take the crown off of the head of the people in purple.
Yeah, I'm optimistic, Bill. I'm curious to see, you know, what kind of a lift you get just by changing schemes from one year to the next. And certainly there's tape out there on Mike Pettine and what he does and what he likes to do, but not with the Packers personnel. So, you know, how does that switch alone allow them to maybe take a step forward? And then certainly I'm excited by some of the personnel that they brought in, and including Jair Alexander and Josh Jackson, and what kind of contributors can they be in year one. I'll say it, I'm cautiously optimistic is probably the right way to put it right now. And when you factor in that, or you couple that with Aaron Rodgers being healthy, I think they're right there and poised to be able to compete with Minnesota. I do think that it's going to be back and forth all year. I'm certainly not ready to crown the Packers champs yet. Minnesota earned that last year. But I do think that I do feel good about their chances to take that down to the final couple of weeks and hopefully bring the division crown back to Green Bay.
Marcus, always good to chat. You stay well, and I throw a little extra money down on the Brewers just because. Maybe take some of those prop bets as you get towards the end of the season, man.
You don't got to ask me twice, Bill. I'm on it. I'm walking into the casino as we speak.
Perfect. Enjoy yourself. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right, man. Appreciate it.
See you later, buddy. There you go. That is Marcus Pfaff, and he is joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. He is from The Score in Appleton, our fine affiliate there. And don't forget our friends over at Schneider. They are looking for good people. You could be one of them. They are looking for a lot of good people right now. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That is our friends from Schneider, and you see them all over not only the state of Wisconsin, but well beyond the borders if you're outside traveling, driving the highways and the byways, and again, they're looking for good people. A couple of things. I want to talk some Bucks basketball because there are some people that are somewhat shocked that Jabari Parker has not received more interest. Also, some things that John Horst has said, the Milwaukee Bucks, which would lead you to believe maybe they're not really as excited about getting him back as they had stated all along. Also coming up after the bottom of the hour, Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com. He's going to be joining us as well. That's all coming up. This portion of the program brought to you by Cousin Subs. The Cubano is back for a limited time. And the one mainstay that's always there is the Bill Michaels. That's a pepperoni melt, extra mayo, extra cheese on that, a good Italian bread. Go in, get you some, and get yourself a side of Radio Joe cheese curds. That is good food right there. You can download the app on any mobile device. You can also go to CousinSubs.com or just go into the darn store and get yourself one. Good food. That's where they believe in better. And the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. All reasons to head in to your local Cousin Subs. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Glad to have you. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day, no matter where it is you are throughout the state and beyond the borders. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to give us a shout. Jabari Parker, as far as the free agent front goes, not much out there. There's just not much at all. And in reality, it... if you listen to some of the things that the Bucks were saying with John Horst, you know, they say the Bucks have had great conversations with him. John Horst said, obviously, Jabari is a restricted free agent. We qualified him because we value him and we want him to have the ability to, and we want to have the ability to keep him and work through that with him and his agent. We've had great conversations. We're all in contact with him every day. I think the market will dictate some of it, but we'll continue to work on it and see how it turns out. You know, and I heard a great point this morning driving in. When you talk about, well, the market will dictate, you know, some of it. Yeah, maybe the necessity or urgency. But if you value a particular player, a particular aspect of your team, and the market is within your own franchise. I mean, if you value him and you want to keep him happy, then you pay him. You know, or at least you come to some kind of an agreement that you all can live with. You know, it's to say that, well, you know, we really value him and we signed him to a qualifying offer sheet, but the market's going to dictate what it is he's worth. You know, he's in your backyard. You kind of know what he's worth, don't you? So, on one hand, I understand it. You know, Jabari Parker's proven that he can be a scoring option for the Bucks. I mean, you go back a couple of years, he was averaging over 20 a game. So, there's just not a lot of interest right now. And part of it is that teams just are not going to go out and spend a lot of big money on some questionable players. I mean, that's because of his knee issues, obviously. And it probably didn't do him any favors when he spoke out. It was very honest, and I appreciate that, but probably didn't do himself a lot of favors when he spoke out going into the postseason about being in the doghouse of the head coach and talked about playing time and such. He did prove himself once he was given that opportunity. He did prove to be a viable candidate, but he became kind of a role player for the Bucks off the bench. I don't know if they were holding him back because they did not want him to put up decent numbers, but he averaged 12.6 points per game and nearly 5 boards. The Bucks can get Parker back for a cheaper price due to his injury-riddled couple of seasons. And, you know, we'll see. The Bulls are no longer in the race. You know, none of that.
Well, the Bulls just matched the offer sheet from the Kings with Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
And he's making a lot of money.
So he's not going back. The Kings were there. I know the Brooklyn Nets are talking about Jabari a little bit, but there's not this big banter of free agent discussion when it comes to him.
Consider this thought, too. Remember when Jabari was on your show back in the fall, and he was as point blank about that rumored $18 million per contract last offseason, and he said, "I wish." All right, so
right.
This is under the assumption that let's believe Jabari Parker, and I believe Jabari Parker, that he was not offered that contract. So let's just say he was offered about $13 million a year. Now we're renegotiating. We're seeing teams not throwing offer sheets at the Bucks. So you would have to think that what the Bucks offered Jabari Parker last year is now going to have to be even less this year. See what I mean? Because,
mm-hmm.
You know, this is all about hedging your bets and trying to see if you can make even more money on the open market and seeing what teams are being able to throw out at you. But after this report from Jordan Schultz last week saying that attitude and health are the key reasons why Jabari Parker isn't getting the money from other teams around the league, now you're trying to renegotiate with the Bucks and the offer you turned down from them last year, they're not going to offer that same amount of money again, right? I can't imagine that they would. So now Jabari has to think, well, maybe, you know, let's say it was $14 million per last year and now it's $10 million per right now. That's what they're negotiating. If you're Jabari Parker, do you take that money long term or do you say to yourself, I'm just going to take that qualifying offer. I'll be an unrestricted free agent next year. I'll have to redeem myself and then hopefully there is a team out there that will pay me big money next year if I go out and perform and don't get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, that's the very interesting thing that's been going through my mind through this whole negotiating process. Because, look, I've said it before, I said it again, I don't think Jabari Parker's worth $20 million a year because he hasn't proven it. He hasn't proven it.
Right. I'm not, at this point in time, I mean, granted, I'm going to not necessarily be John Horst and go, well, the market's dictated what he's worth. I probably would pay him a little bit more in hopes that he would either, one, accept it, or two, that at least there's an opportunity for him to get another big contract down the road that he can say, okay, I'm going to earn it, I'm going to stay healthy, and here you go. Even if it's a two-year deal, pay him a little bit more money, keep him happy, and say, hey, let's make it beneficial for everybody. So that way, if he does become the guy that you believed he would be, or close to it, at least you have another score in your pen. And in addition to that, he regains a little bit of trust in the organization.
But how will this coaching staff use Jabari Parker? That's the other question that he has to ask himself. Is Jabari Parker going to be in the starting lineup? Or is he going to be someone that's going to come off the bench like last season? Because you were kind of waiting for Jabari Parker to get that opportunity to start for the Bucks, and it never came to fruition unless there was an injury. So how does Mike Budenholzer and this coaching staff view Jabari Parker as well? They may think, you know what, we'd prefer to have him come off the bench. And is Jabari Parker cool with that? I don't think he's going to be cool with that. He wants to start.
Yep.
He wants to be a star.
Well, but if he's going to have to earn it. I mean, does he believe he's already earned it, like he should just be the starter?
Well, I think Jabari Parker played very well and didn't get hurt late last season. Now, it didn't help him complaining in the playoffs about not getting enough
minutes. No, but you know what? If a guy complains and he backs it up, I don't have a problem with it. He backed it up. He didn't play great, but he backed it up.
Well, once they gave him the minutes, he really backed it up, and he actually did something that he never does, and that's play defense. He did that for a change, too.
It looked like he became energized again. Like they said, okay, put your money where your mouth is. And he said, okay, I'll do it, and did it. So it was fun watching Jabari Parker play. If Jabari Parker now, this offseason, continues to work and continues to better his game and comes back even better next year and doesn't go down with an injury, yeah, this is a big year for him because he can make a lot of money. Or if you're the Bucks, just say, hey, you know what? We're going to put our faith in you. We're going to make it a two-year deal, and we're going to give you extra money. You beat a man, and by the time the 2 years are up, or maybe at the end of the year, we can go ahead and renegotiate, and we'll go ahead and give you more money because we want to keep you here. But I think, in my opinion, he trusts this organization as far as he can throw it. That's a big deal for him. So that's where I think he is right now. 855-830-8648. Back into baseball when we come back. Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com. You're going to hear that conversation coming up next.
Wisconsin Wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad to have you. Hey, I want to remind you that coming up, cigar dinners are in your future. There is one at the Chippewa River Distillery, brought to you by our friends at Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery and our good friends over at Alec Bradley's Cigar. That is coming up Thursday night, July 26th in Chippewa Falls. For those of you listening to us in our Eau Claire area, the affiliate there, go to Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery on Birch Street in Eau Claire or on South Prairie View Road in Chippewa Falls. I am going to be appearing at the one on Thursday night, August 2nd, in La Crosse. We're going to be at Shenanigans in La Crosse, and it's Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery, the cigar dinner there, and that's going to be a great time as well. Tickets are on sale at that venue, or for that venue, on Highway 157 in La Crosse. Now, what you get is a couple of beverages per ticket, dinner per ticket, 4 free cigars per ticket, and raffle tickets per ticket. And all you got to do is go and get yourself locked in for the event. Go to any one of the locations that I had mentioned, Highway 157 in La Crosse, or head out to Birch Street in Eau Claire or South Prairie View Road in Chippewa Falls, and you can get yourself some tickets to the cigar events. And they're always a lot of fun. I am not going to be at the one in Chippewa Falls, and as soon as I found out who is, I'll let you know for sure. But that being said, that's going to be a good one. And the one, I love these things. Thursday night, August 2nd, I will be there in La Crosse. So hope to see you out there as well. And that's all brought to you by our friends at Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery and our friends at Quick Trip. And they have the rewards program and all so much from our friends over at Quick Trip. Adam McAlvey from Brewers.com and MLB.com. We chatted with him a little bit earlier, and we were talking about the fan voting. And Jesus Aguilar, by the way, Brewers fans, you are doing your job because he's leading the National League for the final spot. So kudos to you. And when we started out talking about just that, and for fans that say, well, you know what, Yelich and Kane, and there should be more Brewers. And really, isn't it incumbent upon fans to actually get out and vote?
Well, but remember those paper ballots, those fun paper ballots punching the little perforated holes are gone. And now it's all online. And it seems like that's hurt the Brewers a little bit because they have not represented in the past couple, at least the past 2 years, in the same way they represented, you know, remember 2014, they had three starters. I remember being in Minneapolis and I felt like I was covering the whole National League All-Star team. So I don't know if that's a factor, but look, I probably have an unpopular opinion of this. To me, I like the All-Star game being the best players in the game. Now, it depends on what your definition of that is. Some people think it's the best, you know, statistical first half should be in the All-Star game. And, look, that's really cool. A guy has a huge first half like Jesus Aguilar. He should probably go to the All-Star game. But, again, to me, I sort of like – and I get people ripping me yesterday for saying it's then call it the lifetime achievement game – and that's fair. That's a fair argument. But I just remember growing up watching the All-Star game, and it was really cool to see, you know, Tony Gwynn and Bo Jackson and Wade Boggs and, whoever else. And, you know, as a 12-year-old, I didn't know statistically what their seasons looked like. I just know that it was, you know, the best guys. So maybe I'm unpopular there. And the other thing is, no matter how you do this, unless you have like 75-man rosters, there's going to be legit snubs everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just like the Hall of Fame, kind of. I sometimes I feel like the debate and the angst and the anger is like part of the joy of the thing in a way.
What about a guy like, say, Bryce Harper, who's having a terrible year? Should he then, because he's
terrible, is. Oh, I'm sorry, Bill. Go ahead.
Well, offensively speaking, he's hitting .218 with an OPS of .851. 22 dingers, yes. 22 dingers, yes. I agree.
Yeah.
But it's all or nothing for Bryce Harper, let's be honest.
Well, I mean, .851 OPS.
That's a good number.
That'll play. Bryce, okay, and this is maybe the right – this is a good example. To me, and look, I'm not saying I'm right. To me, Bryce Harper should be in the All-Star game in Washington, D.C. He's Bryce Harper. He's their best player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if he's – to me, I don't care if he's hitting .150. I want to see Bryce Harper in the All-Star game in Washington, D.C. So, I mean, that's just me. Everybody has a different look on it. And, you know, and my way of thinking on that is going to lead to some really tough, unfair calls for guys like Jesus Aguilar. Jeremy Jeffers has a great All-Star case, and look, he looked really bummed out. He's really bummed out, and rightfully so. There is nothing Jeremy Jeffers could do more except for, you know, somehow hold some execs for ransom and get in the closer role so he can rack up a bunch of saves. There's nothing else he can do, and those guys have legit beefs, and you know, I do feel for those guys because, you know, to us, maybe it, you know, people, we debate it and it's important, but I honestly think sometimes we forget how important this is to the players. They grew up just like we did, watching the All-Star game and those following intros and the home run derbies and the back Griffey with the backward cap and the whole thing. And, you know, I heard, for example, Christian Yelich is just like, could not be more fired up to go to the All-Star game. And good for him, a really good player, and he's getting his first opportunity to actually go to the Midsummer Classic.
Well, some of these guys also have some money on it.
Yeah, but I mean, yes, that's true. That's true. You know, it's No, that's true. I don't even want to say it's a small amount because it's not, because I'll happily take the bonuses that they get for making it. So that's true. And maybe, you know, maybe that's an argument to have whether that's good or bad, because it's something, it seems so arbitrary sometimes, you know?
Right.
Salvador Perez is in and Jesus Aguilar is not. Well, if there's money on the line for that, that makes no sense at all.
Correct. Completely agree with you. Hey, I do want to talk about last night, because Jesus Aguilar, obviously, we've been talking about him today. You get the leadoff runners on, you're second and third, nobody out. You can't in any way, shape, or form manufacture a run. Yes, I understand it's Jesus Aguilar, who's having a tremendous season. But it's almost sacrilege not to be able to plate a run to give yourself a shot to win that ball game last night. Would you not agree?
I would agree. I would also agree that it's, I don't know if the sacrilege is the word, it's some kind of other big word for the idea that you want Aguilar to bunt there. Some people were talking about squeeze.
I said, look, you got your best runner, one of your smartest players on third. Nobody's expecting Aguilar to drop down a bunt. I mean, hell, Big Poppy did it 40-something times or 30-something times in his career. We saw Albert Pujols do it at least once in his career.
Against the shift.
Well,
not Pujols. I mean,
Pujols has a bunt in his career. He bunted. La Russa had him bunt.
I'm not bunting Jesus Aguilar. And look, he's a good sack fly guy. He's a guy who can get the ball in the air. And he's a really good hitter. He's leading the National League in home runs, but it is not, you know, Rob Deere. This is a little more of a complete hitter at this stage. And he stood there and said it last night, and you can see it's in my story. We did a story about Aguilar's night. It was, you know, good and bad, and that was at the plate and in the field. It was good and bad. And he said he's got to have a better at-bat there. He said, I have to do the job. I did do the job. He said, I did my best in that situation, but I need to do better. So there was no shying away from that moment in the game. Brad Miller did not shy away from his moment that, you know, he needed to do better than bouncing in a double play with the bases loaded later in that inning and one out. Sometimes you don't get it done. And I would argue that Jesus Aguilar has gotten it done more often than he has not.
I would agree.
Big situations this year.
No, I would agree with that. I'm just simply saying that there's not one person in the place is expecting him to drop one down. So if you're going to take that opportunity, at that point you do it and maybe make it a safety. At the very least. You know, I mean, great. If he ends up hitting a home run, and he had already had a home run, so the likelihood, statistically speaking, of him hitting another one are astronomically low, because that doesn't normally happen. So I agree.
Well,
I understand it, but it is what it is.
I'm glad that Council didn't bunt Aguilar, because it would have been a very late night covering a Craig Council firing press conference.
You think so? No, if he drops one down and they win that ball game, isn't that then Craig Council being genius?
Well, but here's the thing, Bill. Here's the problem we run into every time we talk about bunting. And look, I'm maybe more on the anti-bunting side, so I'm coming at it from a point of view. But the pro-bunting side assumes the bunt as a given. And there is so much evidence when you watch the guys try to bunt that it's not a given. And then the argument is, well, they need to work on it more. Why, you know, this is a professional athlete. They should be able to bunt. That is so much easier to say than to actually execute. And are players today worse at bunting than they were 25 years ago when it was a much bigger part of the game? Absolutely yes. And, look, they do work on it, and they need to work on it more. But I really think the biggest problem that we run into when we get in these debates is that the pro bunt side – assumes the bunt gets down, the run scores, they win the game. And it doesn't, I don't think, take into account that it's not as high a percentage play, the bunt itself, as I think you assume it to be.
No, I would agree with you there, because of the statistical analysis of the prevalence of the bunt in today's day and age is gone.
Yeah.
It's just not a part of the game anymore.
Because
the problem we have, though, accepting it is, that means you are also accepting the elimination of an avenue that gives you an opportunity to move somebody 90 feet.
That's fair, and I would also very much concede that there is a place in the game for a bunt, and that had the pieces lined up differently last night.
But then we'd all be expecting it, because you and I would both be sitting there tweeting at each other going,
yeah, but
okay,
I mean,
expect the bunt to be
laid
down.
Even if you're there are plenty of times where you know a bunt's coming, a team knows a bunt's coming, and you execute it properly, and it works. So I'm not sure the surprise element is, like, the key to the whole thing.
I mean, even today's game with the shift, it's almost sacrilege to bunt against the shift as if you're trying to find some cheap way to get on base.
No,
and so now we have
that.
A propensity to go against that.
I think the reason that players don't bunt more against the shift is that it's hard. It's just hard to do. And when you're Jesus Aguilar, and a better example is a lefty hitter, Prince Fielder. Prince Fielder was he would come and sit in his locker and just be so angry after games when they shifted him. And the answer would be, well, why doesn't he just bunt against it? And the response is, because it's not that easy. It's not that easy. And look, so much of the game right now is math. And I've said this to you before. I really liken it to blackjack. It's a percentage play on the decisions that you make within games. And they have so much data now because you can gather all these games, mostly because of video. You don't have to have bodies around watching all these games and gathering data. It's all done by video now. And they have all the percentages at their fingertips of how do you best score multiple runs in an inning when that's what you're going for, and how do you score one run in an inning when that's what you need. And in that situation, you know, they would have bunted had the percentages told them to bunt, but I think their view was, we have a better likelihood of scoring a run here by letting Jesus Aguilar try to put a ball in play, swing the bat and try to put a ball in play, than trying to ask him to do something he almost never does and bump the ball.
All right, you convinced me. You know,
yeah, I don't know about that.
There's no wrong answer here, and I said that today because when people started getting pissed off at me on Twitter last night and you know, being incredibly sarcastic. But my argument to that is, and everything you said is 1,000% right, and then I come back with the question of, did they win the ball game?
No, and they didn't.
And
that is why we will continue to debate this beautiful game. And again, I know, I've said to you before, Bill, the beauty of this sport to me is that, well, one, we all played it as a kid, so we think we can do it. And number two is, it unfolds so slowly in front of your eyes. And you can sit there and manage along and guess along and play along, unlike other sports where they go so fast, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many, you know, on the football field we do it too, but there's so many moving pieces on the football field. And in baseball, it unfolds at this gloriously slow pace. And we all get to sit there and be managers in our head. And that's the great part of it. So,
right.
Look, there's, you know, I sit up there with Mike Vassallo and we do this. He loves the idea of small ball. And there's no right or wrong. He's a great baseball guy and knows a ton about the game. And we sit up there and go at it. So that's the fun of it.
Good stuff as always. And we'll debate something frivolous next week.
All right. I will be next week in Washington, D.C. So
say hi to Bryce Harper for us.
Yeah, we'll do.
Okay.
All right.
There you go. That's Adam McCalvey at Brewers.com and MLB.com. He joined us a little bit earlier today. Always good to chat with Adam. Always good to sit down and talk some baseball with him. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. This portion of the program brought to you by Bud Light. We'll tell you more about that and wrap things up. Coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Bill Michaels here. Now, let me tell you about my friends over at Clement Sausage. They make... How we looking? Bill Michaels Show on the air. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to talk a little more Bucks, the offseason. Matt Velasquez of the Journal Sentinel is going to be here. Also tomorrow, as the trade talks continue to heat up, our National Baseball Insider Seth Everett is going to be joining us as well. Looking forward to that conversation. And we'll ask him at what point, as a team, do you feel like your franchise should be going for it? So we'll get into that discussion tomorrow also. So looking forward to a lot more Brewers chatter And then just, you know, we'll figure out tomorrow also. Tomorrow afternoon, you're going to find out if Jesus Aguilar did indeed make it as the final vote in for the All-Star team. And hopefully Brewers fans continue to vote. And there's no reason not to. I mean, we were talking about this with, you heard the conversation with Marcus Paff. Also, you heard the conversation just a few moments ago with Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com. Look, I get it. There's a lot of Brewers fans that feel slighted in some way, shape, or form. But get other Brewers fans to vote. If you've done your part, get a, for all the teams that are talking about down years, okay? We're having down years in attendance. Well, you know, well, not the Brewers. If anything, you should be watching more and reminded more to vote Brewers. And you should be doing your part. Otherwise, as a fan base, you shouldn't feel slighted. You should feel disappointed in yourself. I mean, everybody else, you can only do so much. And as far as, you know, regarding everyone else, before you just got to look at yourself and say, you know what, I got to get it done. So we'll talk about that coming up tomorrow as well. If for whatever reason Jesus Aguilar doesn't get in, then we got to talk more about the Brewers fan base in general also. But that's all coming up tomorrow on the program as well. So good stuff today. We'll continue the discussion. A lot of anticipation and excitement about this Milwaukee Brewers team, no doubt about it. Until then, though. Time for us to get out here. Have a great one.
Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.